The Nick Holt Podcast.
Guest on today's program is internationally renowned chef Pete Evans. Pete is also an author, public speaker, and restaurateur. He's passionate about health, holistic living, and ancient healing methods. Today we'll be talking about epistemology, that is, the theory of knowledge. How can we come to understand the distinction between belief and opinion? We'll also be talking about ancient medicines and healing techniques, including the use of psychedelics. We're going to start, though, by analysing some of the chief concerns people have about the COVID-19 vaccines, including the latest information released by Pfizer. I hope you enjoy.
The Nick Holt Podcast.
So a lot of the momentum around the world in regards to these vaccine mandates seems to be really dropping off. What do you think's going to happen here, Pete? Do you think that they're going to be removed soon?
So what I believe is happening and will continue to happen is a reversal of these so-called mandates, which were never law. None of these mandates were ever law, which is why they can't hold up in a place of law. And there will be a ripple effect that will happen throughout the globe. So anybody that has been stood down or had to leave their job because of these, I think we're going to see a flood of repercussions aimed back against the people that impose this as what they would consider their mandates. What will happen from this, I believe, is more and more evidence will be shown why these mandates were unlawful. And yeah, I think it's a house of cards that is toppling, or it's on very shaky foundations, and all of these systems that we've believed in and trusted for so long, I believe, they've all been built on dodgy foundations. They're very unstable at the moment, as we're witnessing. I mean, globally, we're witnessing the inflation rise at tremendous rates. We are witnessing the big pharma. We're seeing the medical institutions also being exposed for lies and deception. The Pfizer documents that you mentioned just before, I mean, you know, if anybody hasn't asked the question, why would they want to withhold that information for 55 years or 75 years, I think it was, you know, that's a good place to start. Why, in the day of transparency, why are there so many things that are being withheld or suppressed from the public when so many huge decisions over the last 2 years have been made on these assumptions? I believe what we're witnessing now is going to be a flood of information where people will be told the truth. It will come out through mainstream media eventually, reluctantly. I don't think they're going to have a choice, or they will continue to lose listeners or viewers or followers to their social media outlets. So I think it's a beautiful time. I think it's a very fragile time. I think it's a very challenging time for a lot of people, because you've got to understand, and I'll just finish by saying this, that in this country, in Australia and New Zealand, where 80 to 90% of the people have decided to inject themselves or their children with basically an untested medical recipe where the ingredients are not transparent, and the greater public have gone along with this based off the information that they've received either through mainstream media or celebrities or unelected health bureaucrats or elected, and I'll use that word loosely, government officials. I think a lot of people are going to really find it difficult to understand that they've been lied to, that they've been deceived, that they've taken something that they have no idea what the long-term effects of these are going to be. And we're witnessing this on a day-to-day basis at the moment, the side effects of this. And one thing I did share today was, you know, if it walks like a duck, if it sounds like a duck, it's probably a duck in relation to the adverse side effects which are publicly stated to cause heart issues, a myriad of heart problems, yet the mainstream media is still not bringing that narrative into their stories for people that have had sudden heart attacks. And I think that's doing a huge disservice, because it's the one common denominator for a lot of these people that they've taken, and the result is death or severe side effects, yet they're not mentioning the elephant in the room. Now, I'm not saying that these are caused by this, but it's definitely something that should be looked into with greater detail. And the reason that I say that is because over the last 2 years, we've witnessed that the death figures that were purported or reported through the mainstream media outlets of people dying with COVID or of COVID, but we'll use the word with COVID, have been dramatically exaggerated to the point where 9 out of 10 from the CDC died of other complications with their health, but they've been listed as dying with COVID. So basically, we could reduce that number, we could say, by 90% of total fatalities because of COVID-19, and even that could be debatable and requires further investigation. Yet at the same time, what we're witnessing is a lot of people are dying with the COVID-19 vaccines, yet the mainstream media has chosen not to use their same messaging about this that they used of people dying with COVID. So I find that quite hypocritical. I find that quite lazy as far as investigative journalism goes. And the question I would ask is, why is that off the table to be investigated, or even the question to be asked?
Yeah, look, I think that the issue that the mainstream media finds themselves in is that they committed to this narrative so hard and so ubiquitously from the beginning that they essentially steamrolled so many small lies, well, big lies, but small in the scheme of things, that each time they did that, whether it be statistics on dying with or against, or the outrageous advice that was being dished out by chief health officers. I mean, there's literally thousands of these lies. They've buried them to such an extent that they've got themselves in a tricky position now. They have to essentially say to the public, well, we didn't get really much of it right at all for 2 years. I think some of that was conscious, some of it was unconscious. I don't buy into the narrative that every media practitioner down to the cadet journalist is in on some overarching global agenda here, but consciously, that is. But the time is running out for these people, editors of major newspapers in particular. Time is running out for them to do the right thing, because, as you said, they've rapidly lost credibility. And the way I see it, the best way to get that credibility back is to start breaking one of the many, many hundreds of what in any other era would be front page covers, biggest news stories in the country. Start covering these things and people might start to trust you again.
What I've witnessed, and I'll give you my perception on exactly that, is they're in a very, very, very difficult position because they've been complicit. I mean, I believe you could find a legal precedent that they have been complicit in sharing this fake information and this false narrative. And as you mentioned as well, I 100% agree that not every journalist, not every media outlet is responsible for this. over the years when we were talking about dietary principles, one of the things I realised very strongly is that the advice by the Dietitians Association, the Diabetes Association, the Heart Foundation, the Cancer Council, and the list goes on and on and on all around the world, is that a lot of the information that they have put out to the public has not been completely truthful, or they haven't been sharing the correct or up-to-date scientific information. Let's take saturated fat as an example, and carbohydrates as another example. Let's talk about type 2 diabetes. We understand that the more carbohydrates we have raises our blood sugar levels or our glucose levels in our blood. There is a simple solution for pretty much 90% of people with type 2 diabetes to basically either reverse or put their type 2 diabetes into remission through a change in diet and lifestyle practices, right? Now, what happens when an institution has given out information over not only years but perhaps decades where they have basically said you can continue to eat this way and it won't, if you change your diet, it won't do anything. When the evidence comes out and if they had to change their tune and say, hey, listen, we actually got it wrong, the amount of court cases or class action lawsuits would destroy these institutions and destroy the individuals that have put this information out, even though the evidence is there now. You know, a lower carbohydrate diet is, by all accounts, one of the ways to help reverse type 2 diabetes. There's no debate there anymore. But with an institution that has said that this will not help, and they've pushed a different narrative, again, it opens up the doors to such huge legal ramifications that they just can't do it. They will not do it. Instead, what I've witnessed over the years is slight adjustments to their narrative, very slight ones. You know, we will never accept responsibility for the information that we've put out, which has potentially led to so many deaths, so many untimely deaths, so much pain and suffering of the general public that have followed our expert advice. That, you know, they're in a position that they can't actually maneuver out of, which is why they've lost respect and they're losing the narrative. And we're witnessing this happening right now with the COVID narrative as well, that they've put themselves into such a position where there's no retreat, because to admit that they were wrong just opens up a can of worms. And yeah, it's going to be very, very interesting to see how this plays out. But one thing that I'm eternally grateful for, and the positive that has come out of this, is people are looking for information outside of these traditional news sources, such as yourself, such as other social media platforms that have arisen, so, and other voices. I mean, we'll use Joe Rogan as an example here. Joe Rogan and his podcast reaches, I think, a minimum of about 10 million people per episode, give or take. And some of his episodes are reaching upwards of 40 million plus. Now, you compare that with a news outlet such as CNN. They're struggling to get to break a million viewers on their primetime most popular shows. And that's happened so rapidly that the viewership is going down so quickly. Yet other voices are reaching the people that these news outlets once reached. And as you can see on mainstream media, I mean, once upon a time, I'll give you a great example. I was with somebody yesterday and they were talking about the Russia-Ukrainian thing. And they said, you know, it's so sad that the Russians have bombed that maternity hospital. And I said, what are you talking about? I said, that's not true. They said, yeah, but I've been watching it on the news, that the Russians have gone in there and and destroyed a maternity hospital. I said, are you sure about this? You know, when it comes out today, and it came out yesterday, that from other points of view, that was completely fabricated to create that narrative that they could put out there. I mean, the normal players like Hillary Clinton put out a tweet about it. You know, and that always raises a question. What's their motive to be putting out this story? And then you find out, I mean, the Russian minister today, I think it was in the Security Council, was saying, no, it's propaganda. It's not true. It's not true. So, but when I mentioned this to my friend yesterday, I said, are you sure that what you're watching is completely true? There was, and this person understood that the COVID narrative was all false. They know that. But this Russian-Ukrainian thing, they're like, no, the Russians are the bad people and the Ukrainians are the good. I'm like...
Yes, I think that on the point of Russia-Ukraine, what's interesting for me, albeit quite alarming, was the ease at which, maybe a better way to say this is how much people overestimated their ability to not be caught up in the crowd, the global propaganda that comes through news. Very quickly, as you said, people who had wised up to the deception of the media, whether it be lying through omission or commission throughout COVID-19, all of a sudden were just caught up in the landing net. And that shows you how powerful that this is. But I think that there is more people, and as you said, the ratings reflect this. There are more people that are starting to, perhaps on a subconscious level, and I'm talking about people who have, you know, not rightly or wrongly, just have trusted the mainstream media for maybe 50, 60 years. You should be able to trust the media. But now they're faced with some very, very bizarre narratives, one on top of the other. The question is, how many narratives are people going to believe, and how do we... As I've been saying for a couple of years, how do we take back the narrative and win the information war? And I think it starts with getting back to the basics. For example, this story that we broke. Now, I'm based in Brisbane. As I've said from the beginning, there's nothing I can do personally about Bill Gates or Anthony Fauci necessarily while I'm sitting here in Brisbane. What I can do is investigate Queensland politicians. Now, we've got in this story we published, headline is Top Queensland Health Bureaucrats Ignored Concerns Pregnant Staff Had About Taking Pfizer Vax. We've got four Gold Coast health bureaucrats in September 2021. Now, I think that before I sum up the story, I think that it's important to note that you could almost guarantee it wasn't these bureaucrats' first rodeo in terms of being in positions of power where they could give medical advice when they're not even medically trained. One of them's an HR director. These bureaucrats are on camera. This video was leaked to us, basically saying to pregnant women, there's nothing wrong with the vaccine. Pregnancy's not an exemption. You have to get it or you'll be fired. But of course, they say it in a way that it makes it look like they're not the ones doing the firing. It's gaslighting 101. You have a choice, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, in this video, we've got the chief executive of the Gold Coast Hospital, Ron Calvin, who, as far as we can learn, has no medical experience whatsoever. He has a degree from a long time ago in zoology. He's chairing this and they're telling pregnant women that they may actually be better off having the vaccine. It might even be better for you compared to getting COVID. That's the message. So this is arrogance and culpable ignorance at the time, assuming that the system above them was rock solid. But that system's coming down now with the Pfizer documents. in particular around pregnancy, which I think should strike a chord in every heart of Australians. We're talking about unborn children here. So this 55,000-page set of documents included this 38-page report, and it listed 1,291 different adverse reactions following vaccination, including neonatal death. The other reactions were, this is in pregnancy, were clots, fetal disease syndrome, seizures, pneumonia, blood disorders, brain infections, chronic bacterial infections, and autoimmune disorders. On page 12 of the Pfizer report, it was revealed that out of the 270 vaccinated pregnant mothers being monitored, 23 suffered spontaneous abortions, and 75 reported serious clinical events, including two stillbirths and one neonatal death. These guys are on camera, in my opinion, committing crimes, Pete.
Yeah, you could come to that conclusion for sure. I mean, it's a fucking ticking time bomb.
It has to be.
It's Russian roulette. It's the only word I use about Russian in this, and it's not laughable, but it's got into it. I've said it before, you know, if you can't laugh about this, but also at the same time realize how fucking serious this is, you know, you could lose your mind, because the amount of people that I've spoken to, and like you, I've for the last 2 years, I've been very heavily invested in wanting to understand what this is all about. And I've had the great fortune of probably conducting 200 interviews over the last 2 years with doctors that have been silenced, with researchers, with the people that have risked their livelihoods and their reputation and their financial security to ask the difficult questions. What is this all about? And many of them have said basically that this is a ticking time bomb and it's Russian roulette, and whatever you can do, whatever they can do to get this message out, they will do. And the ramifications or the ripple effect will not be seen or felt for years, if not decades, as the rates of, as you've mentioned just a few of them, but the rates of cancer, stroke, heart disease, death, miscarriages, infertility, and autoimmune disease, and all those other side effects that were listed will eventuate. And for each and every person that has taken this, it could be in the coming months, it could be in the coming years, it could be in the coming decades, or perhaps, as Greg Hunt has publicly stated, what this vaccine rollout was the greatest or the largest human medical experiment in the history of the world. You know, and we understand that through experimentation, especially with pharmaceuticals, that they do have a control group that has been administered, usually a placebo. So when that information comes out as well, you know, could you imagine what that's going to be like for people? What have I taken? Have I actually been injected with something that is toxic, or have I been injected with something that was a placebo? I don't have the answer to that. But from my understanding and from many people that I've interviewed, they said in an experiment like this, that's what you will have. And here's the crazy thing. Well, it's not crazy, but you could look at it as crazy. When we, as human beings, we try to intervene with nature and believe we have a man-made solution for a lot of these issues, you know, generally it doesn't bode well in the future for us. And we realize that perhaps that wasn't the right path to take. You could look at weather manipulation. I mean, you mentioned Bill Gates before. He has mentioned that they would like to dim the sun. Mm-hmm. I mean, just think about that. Like, really deeply think about what they're saying here. that they would like to create a barrier of some sort. Now, the question is, what will that barrier be made of that will dim the sun? What are the potential repercussions of this?
And just the position that, you know, for Bill Gates to say that, that's as normal as ordering his morning coffee. Scientism has become, and I say scientism, not science, has become almost like a cult religion for half the world, more or less. This stuff is just considered par for the course. It's like, oh yeah, Bill's going to dim the sun. Well, we should be in a society where, no, mate, you can't do that. You won't be doing that. But because this scientific community is so extensive now and has so much power, as we've seen, it really is the new church. And I refer to the church in terms of the days when and the times when it was not a good force in the world, these times when corruption had taken over the church deeply. And the power that we've seen is, for me, a cause of... What I should say there is that these people, these Gold Coast health bureaucrats that I was just talking about, see, I'm confident that this is going to be the start of the biggest story in the country, because if you've got four Gold Coast health, let's face it, complete losers, these people. They've been bureaucrats their entire life. So arrogant, part of a Palaszczuk government that's rotten to the core. All the state governments are now. If you've got these four people dishing out potentially deadly advice to pregnant women, that's just the tip of the iceberg of the scientific community. I think we need to go after the scientific community and medical community from the ground up. And that's how we will get these people, because at the moment there's just too much power at the pointy end of the plane still. Do you see that?
Yeah, I see a bigger picture at play as well. Apart from that, and fantastic, and congratulations on exposing this. And I agree 100% that what you're doing is the way forward. But I have a bigger, I guess, bee in my bonnet, you could say, is over the last 2 years, and I shared this the other day, we have celebrities out there telling people to take an experimental poison. I mean, think about this for one minute, how bizarre and how such a dangerous place for anybody to be to give out medical advice. I mean, one of the things that has been very very visible is the media's attack on myself over the last 10 years prior to COVID, that I am a chef and I shouldn't be giving out medical advice to people what to eat. I'm not allowed to share recipes, apparently, that contain organic fruits and vegetables, well-sourced meat, sustainable seafood, and sharing thousands upon thousands of anecdotal stories, plus sharing the peer-reviewed evidence that backs up these claims that if you eat this way, great health may follow, right? And you could go back through the archives of pretty much every single news story saying Pete Evans should not be giving out health advice. Nobody can debate that that was the mainstream media's message and the medical association's message and the dietitians association's message and the Heart Foundation's message when they referred to me by promoting a diet of unprocessed foods, lower carbohydrate intake, and celebrating organics and steering clear of genetically modified foods. They believe that that was dangerous advice, yet at the same time, over the last 2 years, we've had celebrities such as Madga, Sabansky, we've had who's the guy from Kenny, Shane Jacobson, I think his name is.
Right.
We've had the food writer that was on MasterChef, Matt Preston, appear in TV commercials at the start of this, telling people to wear a mask, right? And the evidence And the evidence, and I'll continue with this, the evidence now, and this is the strangest fucking thing I've ever encountered, is no journalist in 2 years has asked for any peer-reviewed evidence that masks can stop a virus. And we know now that they can't. It's like carrying sand in a shopping trolley is the equivalent of a mask stopping a virus from entering or exiting somebody. Yet we know now that the evidence is 150 scientific papers that state they do not do anything except to create sickness in the wearer. They increase the chance of being unhealthy by wearing these masks. And so we'll use that as an example. And then we have celebrities, again, coming out over the last year and a half, telling people to take an experimental poisonous concoction. It's the only way I can describe it. Because that they're not trained in medicine. They're not qualified to talk about other people, what other people should put into their body. Yet they took it upon themselves, whether it was a paid endeavor or, as you stated before, believed in the cult of scientism, that it was their place as an influencer or as a celebrity to dish out advice to the public through their platforms or through interviews to tell them to take a untested medical poison. I mean, could you ever think of any other time in human history where that would be allowed? Or maybe allowed isn't the right word, but
an environment that would foster that sort of engagement from that community. I think they are getting paid. And Andrew Bogut went public about this last year, that he'd been approached to endorse the vaccines, and he told them to get lost. I think we can't prove it on an individual basis, but that there from Bogues shows that they were engaging in this sort of pay-for-sponsor behaviour. Now, there are so many potential litigation court cases that will be building up over the next few years that I don't think that necessarily people like Matt Preston will be able to avoid some sort of charge. I think that he's probably quite low down the ladder. He could get away with a slap on the arm. But these bureaucrats aren't medical experts either. And they're the ones that the public put their trust in, right? Government. And they will not be able to have an excuse to say it was just the advice.
No. And I mean, think about it. What these, again, going back to the talking heads, whether they're the health bureaucrats or politicians or the celebrities or the influencers, what's going to happen? Sorry, kids running outside. No. What's going to happen to them when the information, I mean, the information's already out, the Pfizer documents are already out, but what happens when more and more and more of this information comes out and they realize that it's like the doctors that used to push smoking cigarettes? You know, it's like, oh, we got that wrong. Oops, yeah, yeah. Sorry.
I only found out that they were dangerous in about 3 years ago, mate. I read the side of the packet and I was like, what?
But think about what's going to happen with all of these vaccines. And I'm not anti-vax, so I'll put it that way. There's no way that, and I said that to Liz Hayes on 60 Minutes when she interviewed me. I said, I will not be taking that until they can prove 100% that it is completely safe for every man, woman, and child on the planet, and that the virus itself is deadly to me, which it's not. And we know that taking a vaccine now, the evidence is there that it doesn't stop transmission. It doesn't stop you catching it.
No, the case has exploded post-vaccination.
Yeah, of course they did. We know why. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket
what's
scientist.
Your take? What's your take? I mean, we probably agree, but what's your take on that? You don't have to offer an expert opinion. I know you're not an expert on that, but
well, let's go there again. Let's do the duck test for walks like a duck, right, looks like a duck, or sounds like a duck. It's probably
that's my logic, mate. That's my logic. This is the thing. There's so much propaganda, so much bullying, that they're gaslighting the general public, telling them not to trust their rational faculty, you know, and not to trust intrinsic logic that served us well for many thousands of years. Mm-hmm. They're saying trust us.
And I just want to state this very clearly, because I'm pretty sure that I've never told anyone not to take it. I've said, if you choose to take it, then it's your choice. But what I have suggested to people that have asked me is, you may want to do some research onto this, like a lot of research. And I posted this the other day. You know, if you haven't done at least 20 to 40 hours minimum, and that's being, you know, on the light side, before you put something into your body, then unfortunately, you only have yourself to blame for this. And it's a big, big statement that I'm making there. But where does personal responsibility and accountability come into play when you are taking something, putting something into your body that is a product? It's a business. There's no other way to look at what a vaccine is other than a product. It has been created by a pharmaceutical or vaccine manufacturing company. It hasn't been given out for free to our governments or anywhere around the world. Somebody has had to purchase those, and we've seen that with the profits that Pfizer and Moderna and AstraZeneca and J&J and all of these different companies have shared, and the increase in profits that they've had over the last couple of years. Sure. So first and foremost, let's just state the fact. It is a product. It is a business. So why would anybody in their right mind take a product and put it into their body in such an invasive way through a needle piercing your skin and then injected by a stranger? People aren't doing this. People aren't ordering a vaccine to come to their door and they're self-administering it. They're going to somebody, generally someone probably that they don't know. Let's just take and point at a pop-up vaccination clinic, right? Mm. You're trusting your body with something unknown, if you haven't researched it, to a company. And these companies, many of them, have paid out billions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars in criminal fines. And I'll say that again. These companies have paid, let's take Pfizer for as an example. I think they've paid up to $5 billion US dollars in criminal fines for one of the charges is misleading the public, I believe is the correct terminology here, and deception. So then the first question I had is, why are the governments doing deals with criminally prosecuted companies that are creating products? And if that hasn't got the hugest question mark over it for anybody before they put a product created by these companies into their body, and these are deep, deep, deep understandings that as a species, humans, if we do not consider these questions deeply about our own actions and our own choices, then where is this going to head? Because we know the model has been set up now, that there's so much compliance.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll give you an example. I hopped on a plane yesterday, and I've said this before. For 2 years, I've not worn a mask. I have not QR coded. I have not taken one of these injections. And I have gone about living my life. And every time I hop on a plane and go through an airport, even while mask mandates were in place, nothing happened. Nobody said anything. Yesterday, I flew down to Sydney and I was sitting between two people that were wearing masks. The person next to me had their hand sanitizer and they were rubbing their hands with it every 10 minutes. And I could feel their discomfort. My perception that I was sitting there between them, and I think I was the only one on the plane without a mask still. And nobody asked me in the airport or on the plane where my mask is. And I wouldn't tell them. I'd just be like, It's irrelevant because the masks don't work. So why the fuck would I ever wear one? You know, if I know that it's going to cause me harm, which it does. Why would I ever put something on my face that doesn't work and has the ability to harm my immune system, make me sicker? You know, it's beyond belief that people still wear them. The stage has been set. There have been many people that have bought into this, that have gone along with this. Where this goes now, I don't know. And that is the truth. It's perhaps the law cases and the court cases that are going to happen may raise people's awareness, but maybe it won't. I don't know.
I think that there are some people, Pete, who will never actually awaken from this. And the reason I say that is that, you know, what I've been saying from the very beginning on my show, right from when the Wuhan videos dropped and then the Italian videos, is that people's ability to reason, as in our innate ability to reason, was paralyzed because they were overwhelmed with unrelenting imagery of fear and trauma coming their way, pandemics coming now. So when the same propaganda machine, the media, that was responsible for creating that very fear, also provided the solution to that fear, that people invested a very irrational level of trust, and as a result they became highly deceivable. In a way, it's a textbook scam. But as that fear has started to wear off, we're entering, I believe, the realm of moral psychology here, which I'm not an expert to comment on, but we're experiencing, people are experiencing a profound clash of many emotions, I imagine. Perhaps the most important being the ego. Do we accept that we were deceived and start to view, once again, plain factual information through a clear lens? Or has that lens become so smudged now that people are unable to do that? That's the battle I see with the information war.
Yeah, again, I don't like to generalize, so it's difficult for me to see the future. All I can do is express myself the best way that I can and to gain as much information as I can. I mean, it's yeah.
I'm more talking, Pete, in terms of how the stage was set, in terms of finding an answer out to why people won't look at the Pfizer vaccine statistics. And this is not an absolute. I'm really just sort of philosophizing here. There has to be a reason, because this is really hard evidence now that's being presented.
Well, think back to when you were a child and you realized that Santa Claus wasn't real or the Easter Bunny wasn't real.
What?
Remember?
Bastard.
Yeah, I know. Sorry to burst that bubble.
It's the end of my weekend.
But exactly. I mean, how? I mean, I don't mean to trivialize this, but I'll just put that into context. when your parents have openly lied and your teachers and society have openly lied to you as a child, and you, it's for many, that's their first realization of deception, mm-hmm. of having trust that some fat guy in a red suit came down a chimney and everybody was in on it. And for some children, or for many, it's a complete and utter breakdown of trust. And
absolutely.
To go into your FISA documents, it's the same, you know. Again, I don't want to trivialize this and make it into
something
that's not.
I think it's a really great analogy. Yeah, continue.
But to then take that red pill, as they like to call the awakening process, and go, holy fuck, it's happened again. I've fallen for the complete deception, the complete trust that I had in the television, of the news, of the media, of the government, of the medical association, of our doctors. No. It can't be true. If that is true, then what is real? Mm-hmm. What is real in this world? Because for too many people, it's just too much.
Spot on.
Person sitting next to me on the plane yesterday putting that shit hand sanitizer on 10 times. There was a moment there where I just wanted to just tap and say, what are you putting that on your hands for? Do you actually know what's in that bottle there? Well, it's not my place. Number two, it's up to that individual to, again, why the fuck are they putting this stuff on their hands, on their bodies? Like, seriously, that stuff is, I would consider, a toxic, poisonous substance. I'll read you something yesterday that I shared. To exist is to stand out, away from the background. You aren't thinking or really existing unless you're willing to risk even your own sanity in the judgment of your own existence. And you can take that in whichever way you wish. But I do believe that for a lot of people, to question so many of these truths that they've believed in, whether it's watching the 6 o'clock news or listening to the radio host or breakfast television or believing in the government that they're doing the best for the country and the best for its population, and then for them to think and discover that maybe there's been deception there. Where else has there been deception in my life? Where else have I blindly followed through this trust in all of these aspects of my life? It's frightening. I mean, I'm sure it was for you, and challenging when you discovered the things that you've discovered, that you must have thought, no, that can't be true. And you probably had moments, as I have and others that I've spoken to have had, like, no, nobody could actually be that deceptive and that evil. And I don't like to use that word evil, but there is evil happening in the world. And it's like in the movie The Matrix, you know, with Cypher. He just wants to go back into the Matrix and eat the steak, even though he knows it's not real, because he would rather be ignorant. Bliss is ignorance, as they say. Mm-hmm. Once you enter into that realm of questioning everything, you know, you have to then rely on yourself and take full responsibility and accountability for all of your actions, and then forgive yourself. Yeah. And your beliefs, and then forgive yourself for being hoodwinked. And it's going to leave people on shaky ground for a lot of people when this starts to come out. The ground will feel very uneven. And one of the things that I've been saying for the last 2 years is this is the start, I believe. We haven't even seen and experienced the worst of it. And now is a really good time to build that foundation so that you have a secure footing to the best of our ability or your ability to weather the storm that is coming. And the best way to do that, I believe, is number one, look after your physical health. And that comes through the lifestyle choices of what we eat, what we drink, and how we move our bodies and how we respect nature. It comes in the form of our belief systems and our relationships to self and our relationships to others and community, being surrounded by people that you can talk openly with without fear of ridicule or persecution or being dismissed. It comes in the form of spiritual or emotional grounding and exploration so that no matter what happens, you can stay calm in the turmoil of the storm if it appears. My intuition tells me that we're at the beginning stages of this tsunami or flood of, and shouldn't use the word flood at the moment, but we've just experienced it where we've lived. And that was a huge wake-up call for me because I felt like I was prepared for everything. And I realized that I've still got some adapting and some evolving to do in regards to this. And
of course.
So
I think we are on the precipice, in my opinion, of what I believe. And I've believed this for a number of years before COVID-19. I am always surprised at the new revelations. Sort of each revelation one-ups the next one in terms of what these people have done to conceal the truth from the public in certain regards. But I've felt for a while now, at least maybe five to eight years, that we were building on reaching the precipice of a very big spiritual renaissance. Because, and I say that because our understanding, human beings' understanding of the world for a very long time has been based on the stories that we've been told by the media. Now that is an alternate reality. Is that reality false? That's up to you to decide. I say it's very false. And the reason I can say that to myself confidently is that the disparity between the reality in the physical world and those stories that we're told in the by the media, it's just far too great, that disparity. It hasn't added up for a very long time. And I think that's the biggest hurdle, but also on the back of that would be the biggest reward for people to awaken. I imagine this would be quite scary. I don't say this in terms of putting myself above anyone else for having this thought, but to accept that the very foundations of reality have been untrue based on the narrative that we've been told through our television screen. I mean, that is huge.
Yeah, it is huge. One of the beautiful things that I've investigated over the years, and I was doing a documentary on, and I filmed a few episodes of it, was understanding these different realities in which we can hold and also journey with in relation to entheogenic medicines or psychedelic medicines, which ancient cultures and tribal cultures from all around the world seem to use as part of their initiation and part of their medicine for centuries, if not thousands of years. My discovery was with these altered states of consciousness, if I can be as blunt and direct as that, is that it shakes your reality and gives you a different perspective. And when you are going through these ceremonial journeys, your understanding of reality is obliterated in ways that you could never comprehend if you've never had that experience. And what happens through the shattering of the ego or the shattering of self is when you go through these journeys, and I'm not recommending them, because the last thing I need is another headline saying Pete recommends tripping.
Andrew Bolt will be all over it.
because I don't. But what I've always been fascinated in ancient wisdom and ancient therapies and ancient knowledge and the practices that our tribal ancestors used in their day-to-day lives or ceremonial experiences. My dietary principles that I shared with people over the last decade stem from the knowledge and the wisdom that has been shared from our tribal ancestors globally. And part of their rich culture is the expansion of their spiritual mind and experience. And what happens in these experiences is we do get to experience a shifting of reality for ourselves. And it can be terrifying in ways in which nothing can prepare you for. But going through an experience like this, what I've found personally for myself is that it creates a different perception in which you can view yourself and embody who you are, but it also gives you a different perception. Like Aldous Huxley said, you know, the doors of perception are cleansed. Ironically, or interestingly, if that's the right word, is that many of the people that have been switched on from day one about the propaganda with COVID, many of the experts have, and the people that I've interviewed, have gone through these transformative processes in their human existence, so that they have a greater awareness and greater understanding of the things that are at play here. And I don't think that's a coincidence, and I don't think it should be swept away without further investigation. What we were seeing prior to COVID was a resurgence. I think it was the third wave or the third renaissance of psychedelic or entheogenic medicines. And I found it very timely that as spiritual awakening and spiritual exploration or expanded consciousness exploration was starting to become very, very popular, this came at that particular point in time where international travel was stopped. We seemed to be locked down in ways in which human expression was to be suppressed. Going back to what you said, I think we're in a very interesting period of human history where it could go in so many different ways. Now, individually, we have the ability to manifest and create our own destiny. That's what we're here to do as human beings. It's our purpose. We can turn dreams into reality. We are magical manifestors, you know, and some people might think I'm crazy, but the notion of us as human beings, that we have an idea, a concept, a thought, and we have the ability to turn those ideas, concepts, and thoughts into a reality, whether it be forming a business, whether it be creating a work of art, whether it be whatever it is, we have the ability to manifest, and that is magic in my opinion. So when we tap into that powerful force that we have as our species, we can not only create our own reality and our own destiny, but we can co-create with other individuals and communities. And with the right intention, we can create a much more beautiful world. Can we do that for everybody? This is where it gets a little tricky, because everybody has free will to create their own reality. When I look around at the population, and I will use some statistics here, 70 to 75%, it could be even more now, of the population are obese and overweight. And you could say sick, unhealthy. You would you could investigate how many people in the Western world are on some sort of pharmaceutical medication, whether it be for cholesterol such as statins, so, or mental pharmaceuticals such as antidepressants or anti-anxiety medication. And the list goes on and on and on and on. That this is a reality that each individual has created for themselves wholly. Why would an individual, I'm just going to throw this out there just to put it into context though, but when we have the ability to live healthy, sustainable lives, yet, and everything is at our disposal these days, we have the information, we have the ability to be able to live holistically, yet so many people choose not to. You know, they choose to put into their shopping trolleys foods that will continue to make them sick, continue to make them reliant on systems to fix their issues, even though that they've chosen the path themselves. They look for the magic pill from the doctor or for the pharmacist to fix something. I'm generalizing here because there are obviously individual elements that that can't fit into the whole here, but I will generalize this. When we have 80 to 90% of the population, again, choosing to take a product that they do not know the repercussions of that, where, you know, having a critical, using critical thinking, where is humanity heading as a whole, especially in the Western world, when this has just taken place? You know, and that's why I unfortunately, I believe that we're on a path for a lot of people will not be ending up in a really good place, unfortunately. And again, now is a really good time to ask those deep questions. Am I happy with the way that I'm living my life? Have I got the energy to create my dreams? And I'll use this as an example. Over the years, when we were sharing dietary advice, we had 100,000 people join our online program. It was a 10-week online program which shared information on with recipes, with the science behind why this philosophy seems to work for the majority of people. We had mindfulness programs in there, such as meditation, guided meditations. We had simple workouts. And one of the things that became evident for me, which was quite a surprise for me, to be honest with you, after sharing thousands of these anecdotal success stories of people reclaiming their health, reclaiming their vitality, I always thought what we were sharing, the priority or the main part of this was that people would become healthy, that they would no longer be in pain and suffering. But I was a little bit naive in that, because that was basically the side effect or the byproduct of people taking responsibility for what they ate and their lifestyle choices. What I came to realize was something much deeper than that singular expectation or outcome. It wasn't so much just about having the health and not being in pain. What I came to realize very, very quickly, which penetrated me more and resonated with me in ways in which I still hold dear, which is why I continue to do the work that I do, is that I had people in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. What they would say to me was that I am now ready to live my life. I am now ready. I have the energy and I have the vitality and I have the mental clarity now to put my dreams that I once thought I could never achieve and turn them into reality. Now, could you imagine if everybody, and this is where it can go, we have the ability to do this. Could you imagine if every single person that has their dreams of what they would like to experience in life, what they would like to achieve in life. Imagine if they had the ability and the vitality and the confidence and the courage to stand up and turn those dreams into reality. It can happen, but when people are lethargic, when people are sick and in pain and suffering and so reliant on external forces, it can seem like it can seem like an impossible dream. And when that happens to individuals, when their dreams are not fulfilled, that's when resentment, that's when frustration, that leads to more self-sabotage, which leads into a cycle of unfulfillment.
I don't have an opinion on some of the holistic methods that you've just spoken about. I'm sure some of my listeners probably do, and I'm sure some are on a similar journey to you. But what I would say is that this can happen very easily, and it has to happen firstly by people taking responsibility for not just what goes into their body, but also taking responsibility for what goes into their mind. And what I mean by that is we need to ask the question constantly now, what do I know and how do I know it? What do I know is real and how can I prove that it's real? And of course, this was done in the mid-1600s by René Descartes, who wrote Meditations. It's of course made famous by his cogito argument, cogito ergo sum, I think, therefore I am. He essentially bulldozed his entire sense of what he thought he knew. He went back to scratch and then he rebuilt that back through the rational mind and also through the senses, what he could and couldn't trust. We see a building in the distance that looks like it's circular, but up close it's square. Therefore, our senses can't always be trusted. We're trusting our senses 100% when we sit in front of news and just consume it. In the same way, we're sitting in front of bad food and consuming it. So I think that what we are on, what I would agree here with you, and I think the essence of what you're saying, if I take it correctly, is that it's time for people to take responsibility in many areas of their life. Otherwise, they'll remain in this negative self-fulfilling prophecy where no responsibility is taken and no dreams and achievements are met, and therefore happiness becomes a barrier.
Yeah, and I like what you were saying there about the philosopher. The further along you go into this journey, you realize that you do know nothing. It's the most beautiful truth.
Well, I think it's more important to me to prove or be proven wrong than it is to be right.
Yeah, 100%, and that's the one thing that has always been a constant with me. Whenever I generally finish a conversation like an interview like this, is please don't believe anything that I've said today. You know, don't take it as gospel. Please, you know, if something that I've said has resonated with you, then fantastic. Go and see where that leads. If something that I've said today has triggered you in a way that it's pissed you off, fantastic. Explore that. What words did I say that really caused you to feel like that?
Pete, we'll leave it there. I know it's hitting 10 o'clock down there in Sydney. It's 4 minutes past, sorry, 1 minute past nine in Brisbane. I really appreciate you coming on the show today, mate. It was great to have a chat.
Always great to have a chat. I really appreciate you reaching out to me. I shared your information about those Gold Coast health experts. Yesterday, I think it was, or the day before, and my wife actually just sent me one of your tweets, actually. So it was synchronistic.
For people that are wondering, you can find Pete on Telegram, Chef Pete Evans News and Info.
I'll finish by this. Be careful, any journalists that are listening to this, that I'm on Telegram. I do not have any other social media outlet. We just had an apology from the Daily Mail because they 2 weeks ago made up a, or 3 weeks ago made up a story, completely fabricated. This is the state of the media at the moment. I'll just give you one example before we say goodnight. They made up a story based off information they saw on a fake Pete Evans Twitter account. If they went to my website, they would see that there's no Twitter link there. That would have been the first thing that you check, or number two, or at least comment, or at least call me for comment. But they decided not to do that, and they published a story which was make believe. We called them out, and they publicly apologized, which I think is one of the firsts for that media outlet to do. And I'm sure it won't be the last time that we receive an apology for mistruths that have been written about us and others in the future. So, yeah, for any journalist out there, do your work.
Do your job.
And you do it with integrity, and you'll go far.
Yeah, that's right. They're a laughing stock at the moment, and they've got the choice right now to decide whether they want to remain to be considered a joke, or if they want to do something of value.
And I will say this, over the last, especially the first year of the pandemic, every journalist that I met, I said, you know, this could be a defining point in your career. There is a real opportunity for you to stand out from the pack and at least offer a different perspective, because that's what journalism should be, at least a non-biased, ask the questions that need to be asked. And you will stand out from the pack, and the people respect you for that, because this is the time. Slowly we're starting to see the narrative shift with some journalists that are stepping up, and you're leading the way, Nick, so thank you so much.
Pete Evans, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks.
Nick Holt Podcast. Hey.